Okay, so we're in Daf Mem Dalet today. I'll begin on the bottom line on Mem Gimel Mem Beis. 43b, the bottom line. Chumash helps also tonight, Yosef. Okay, so it says Tanu Rabbanan. We learn in the Braisa. He says V'chol Adam Lo Yeh Ba'Olam Oed. So again, the whole pasuk in Chumash says V'chol Adam Lo Yeh Ba'Olam Oed. Roll the Chaper B'Kodesh Say to tell that nobody else can be in the Heichal, the covered portion of the Beis HaMikdash or the Mishkan, when the Kohen Gadol is there on Yom Kippur until he leaves, and then he says, he'll bring kapara for himself, for his household, and for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Braisa says, I might have thought that you can't even be in the Azara, in the courtyard of the Mishkan or the Beis HaMikdash. Someone Lomar, but Ohel Moed. So it says, Bit Ohel Moed. Ohel Moed means the covered portion. He says, Ainly Ohel Moed Shabbat Midbar. So I only know that this prohibition is extant for the Ohel Moed, the Mishkan that was in the Midbar. Shiloh made a little mini nine. How do we know that when the Mishkan was in Shiloh and then it was sort of semi permanent there in Shiloh, they made it was there for 369 years and they added some brickwork there. How do we know that the prohibition was also in place? And Ubeid Olamim means the like the Beis Hamikdash, the eternal house. How do we know that it was there as well? So Tamal Lomar Bak Kodesh. This is before Damluya, but Olam Oed L'Kaper Bak Kodesh. Ring Kapar Bak Kodesh. So Gemara understands that the Bak Kodesh means any of these holy places. Ainly L'Bishat Haktara. So I only know the prohibition is when the Kohen Gadol is offering the Torah, the incense in the. In the Heichal, in the B'shat Matan Damim Minayin. How do I know that when the blood is being applied as well? Now, again, on Yom Kippur, so the Kohen Gadol, again, when he brings the Ketoret in the Kodesh Kadashim, so how do I know that it's even true when he that he has the Dam for the Par and the Seir, so he's going to put that on the inner Mizbeach, and then he sprinkles it towards the Parochet, and then he'll go in the Kodesh Kadashim and sprinkle it towards the Aron. So how do I know? How do I know Mishat Matan Dami Minayin? How do I know that when the blood is being applied, also nobody could be there? When he comes to bring Kapara, so anything that he's doing in the Kodesh Kadashim, nobody can be around. So if I read and translate the pasuk, it says that nobody could be there when he enters the Kodesh Kadashim. How do I know that when he leaves? He means the period of time from the time that he enters till he leaves, nobody could be around there. So the Gemara says, so nobody could be there from the time he enters the Heichal or the Kodesh till he leaves. So then he'll bring kapara for himself, for his household, and for all of Klal Yisrael. So the Gemara says, kapara toku demet the kapara beito. His kapara, the Kohen Gadol's kapara, receives the kapara for his household. And one way to understand it is, we saw in the vidui, when he does the vidui, first he has vidui for himself and his household, then he asks for the Kohenim, and then he asks for Klal Yisrael. The kapara for his household receives the kapara for his brethren konim. The kapara chabakonim kudem le kapara called Klal Yisrael, and the kapara for the konim receives the kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. When he does the seir, so he'll do kapara for all of Klal Yisrael. That's just the Seir Lazazel. He'll do a vidui over that. Just give me 1 minute. He says, okay, what do you want for, who's got questions? For any of the questions?
Do we know the reason why the Kohanim get Kapara before the rest of us?
Well, the only thing I could say is the Seder Avoda.
Clearly, I'm not a Kohen.
Yeah, in the Seder Avoda, there's a separate track of Kapara for the Kohanim than for the rest of Klal Yisrael. I mean,
I understand.
In other words, that Aaron the Kohen brings the par, and the par is going to bring Kapara for himself and the Kohanim.
And Beito, and then the Kohanim.
The Seir L'Chatat is going to be for Klal Yisrael. And the simple shot is it's for Tumas Mikdash for Kadoshav, and then Sir Lazazel is for all the other Aveirot. So the only thing I can say is that Kohanim are clearly in a class by themselves, both metaphorically and literally. I don't know more to say than that. Okay? All right, let me go on. Now, let's see back in the Gemara. So the Gemara says, okay, so that's the Braisa. Now we're going to analyze the Braisa. We're on line 10 on Mendalat Amal 44a. So Amar Mar, Ein Li Ela B'Shat Hachtara. So the statement of the Braisa is, I would only think that this proscription against being in the Heichal is when the Kohen Gadol is offering the Ketoret, the incense, and the Kodesh Kadashim. And then the Gemara says, how do I know that even for Matan Damim it has to be that way? So my mashma, why would I think that it's only when he offers Ketoret? Why would I have thought that, even though it's not true? Why would I have thought it? So Amar Rava v'chein Amar Yitzchak bar Avdimi v'chein Amar Rav Lazar Amar Krav v'chiper v'dov yavitova ad kol kahal Yisrael. So the same pasuk that provides the prohibition against being in the Heichal at the same time as going at all says he'll bring kapara for himself, his household, and for all of Klal Yisrael. Esu kapara shavalo l'beitov l'chava kohenim l'kol kahal Yisrael. What act of kapara that he does on Yom Kippur is the same for everybody? Which act of kapara equally impacts on everyone? So the Gemara says, Hevi Omer is the haktaret haktoret. That's offering the ketoret. The ketoret, again, I mentioned there was a machloket tanaim how this works, but everybody agrees that the ketoret is on behalf of all of Klal Yisrael. Now, the Gemara says, Uktorat mechaperet, meaning the Torah brings kapara atonement, or according to the Bach, Uktorat mi mechapara, does the Torah bring kapara? In, the Gemara says it does. The Hatani Rebbe Chananya, because Rebbe Chananya taught a Braisa, Laman l'ktorat shemechaperet. The Braisa says we learn that Torah does bring kapara, does bring atonement. Shenemar, by tinin ktorat by kapara la'am. It says, now this week is Parsha Bab Locha, so this is just in Parsha Korach, so Bab Locha, then we have Shlach, then we have Korach. So it's 2 weeks from this Shabbos, Lulein Parsh Korach. So in Parsh Korach, it says that the Korach and his cohorts all got killed. Korach, the other earth, swallowed them up, and the people who brought tried to bring the Torah on the pans, they died. And then everybody comes to Moshe and Aaron and says, Atem Hamitem and Amashem. You killed off the whole nation, they said. So as a result of that, then a negev, like a plague, afflicts the nation. So Moshe says to Aaron, quickly, take Torah and offer it and be mechaper. So it says, Vayitina Ketoret Vayichaper La'am, that Aaron applied Ketoret and brought kapara for the nation. So we see that Torah does bring kapara. And if you remember, I think the Gemara, not anything, the Gemara says elsewhere that the Malach HaMavet taught this to Moshe, when he went up to Har Sinai. I remember this when I was already back in Yeshiva Kitana with Rabbi Sternberg Zichron Levrach. I remember him saying this, but I don't remember if it was 6th, 7th or 8th grade, so the Malach HaMavet taught Moshe Rabbeinu that the Torah is Mechaper. So let's take a look back in the Gemara. This we did. This is the Tana debate of Rabbi Shmuel. We learned about Yisrael from the base of Rabbi Shmuel. Amak Torah lechaperet. What does the Torah bring kapara for? Al lashon hara. It brings kapara for lashon hara. So here the Gemara seems to use lashon hara in a looser sense. In other words, in the technical sense, we know lashon hara is when you make a true statement, but it speaks negatively about a person. In other words, if I just say Reuven is a thief, and even if it's true that Reuven is a thief, but I don't have any reason mention it to somebody, that's lashon hara. I mean, if somebody's asking me, should I go into business with Reuven, then I have a hetter to say, don't go into business with Reuven, Reuven's a thief. But just like this, Tom, say Reuven's a thief, even though Reuven is a thief, that's lashon hara. But here, the Gemara applies lashon hara, I think, a little more loosely, like say, just because he said, Atem Hamitem and Hashem, you killed off to Moshe and Aaron, which wasn't really case. In other words, the people had done Aveiro and they had it. So he says, Allah Shanara, Yavo Devar Shubhashoi. So the Gemara says that something that's brought like in secret or privately. In other words, the Torah is offered in the Heichal or in the Kodesh Kadashim. So people generally don't see when the Torah is offered. the kapara maase tashra, that it brings kapara for a secret action. Okay, let me pause for a minute and let's take questions, comments, and thoughts. Yosef, are you good with the Gemara so far? We'll say again what? Even though this one was in public, but it's in general, it's a general matter. Okay, any other questions from the cyber world? Anybody? Everybody good? Yosef, you're good otherwise on everything? Okay, everybody good. Okay, now, this next Gemara, this was so hard. This took me so long today to do this next piece of Gemara. This was the real difficult thing. Okay, but we're going to take it down now. Okay, everybody set? Okay. So it's like a new paragraph now. We're on the middle of Mem Dalet Amud Aleph 44a, midway down the column. Everybody with me? Okay. And on a time, we learn the Mishnah Masechet Kelim portion Mibein Ha'ulam V'lam Mizbeach Hashad Hakara. So we don't know 100% what this means. The Gemara is going to go through different Hesberim, but the Gemara says that there's a space in the Beis HaMikdash. Again, if you remember, and if you have your art scroll, you know, you have your floor plan for the Beis HaMikdash, but you should all know, like, there's a part of the Beis HaMikdash which is covered by a roof, and then a part where it's open air. So the part that's covered by roof, you have the Heichal, and then from the Heichal, you have the Ulam, the antechamber, which is also covered by roof, which is also connected to it. Then you have the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, which is 22 Amot. So the Gemara says that you have to evacuate, clear away from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Bishat Haktara, when the Ketoret is being offered. So we'll have to see how this goes. Okay, when the Ketoret is being offered, you have to clear away from that space. Amr Blazar, Lo Shanu Elo Bishat Haktara de Heichal. Sir Blazer says the Mishnah is talking about the Haktar and the Heichal, the Ketorah that's offered on the Mizbeach HaPnimi. And with the Heichal, I mean in the Kodesh. Then you have to clear away from the space. Aval, B'shad HaKtar, L'fnai L'fnim, but when the Ketorah is being offered in the Kodesh Kadashim, Meheichal Parshi, Mibin Ulam Mizbeach Lo Parshi. At that point, you have to clear out from the Heichal, you don't have to clear out from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeah. Okay? Now, we'll come to see in the Gemara that this is going to be a Din D'Rabbanan. A Din D'Rabbanan. In other words, the Torah says, Chol Damo Yeh Ba'olam Away. But on a D'Rabbanan level, so the Mishnah says you have to clear right from the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeah, between the altar, the outer altar, and the Ulam. So you have to clear away from that space when the Torah is being offered. And Rav Lazar says it means when the Ketoret is being offered on the inner Mizbeach, you're too close to the inner Mizbeach. We don't want you to, we're afraid you're going to walk into the Kodesh to see what's going on. So we clear you away from it. But when the Ketoret is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim, then we leave you alone. That's what Rav Lazar says. Okay? Now the Gemara said, what? All right. All right, Yosef's asking me to point out on the diagram. Okay, everybody have their diagram, and the art school people have their diagram in the front of the book. So the inner Mizbeach, you see the blue? 51 is the inner Mizbeach. That's where the Ketoret is being offered. And he's saying, and then on Yom Kippur, so the Ketoret is offered near 55. So it's offered at 51 also, but it's offered at 55, okay? So Rav Lazar, so the Mishnah says they have to clear away from the space, see the Mizbeach, and you see the Ulam. The Ulam is the whole space between the blue and the Mizbeach, which is like a rectangle, that's what we think, right? That's what we think. Okay, let's see further in the Gemara. Now, okay, now the Gemara says, Mati Rabada Barava. So Rabada Barava asks Akasha against Rav Lazar, who's an Amora, but Amila Kiddi. Some say this was, you know, offered like without attribution. And this is the following Brisa. Everybody focus on the Brisa. We don't understand this Brisa, and we must be very patient with it. Rav Yossi Omer, Kim Shaportion Ben Ulam Mizbeach Shad Haktara. Rav Yossi says, just like you have to separate between the Ulam and the Mizbeach when the Ketoret is being offered, so too, you have to separate that same area when the blood is being applied from the chataot pnimiot. We've had this many times before. There's certain korbanot chatat where the blood is sprinkled on the inner Mizbeach, which, again, in the article diagram, number 51. And so he says that when the blood is being, you know, or applied to the inner Mizbeach, that's the part of the Kohen Mashiach, when that means Kohen Gadol, he makes an erroneous ruling, his own erroneous ruling, and he violates the Torah, that something would be Chayav Karet, he brings a korban, but it's a Tatat Mimi. The Parlam Davar Shel Tzibur, if the whole Tzibur, based on erroneous ruling of Beis Din, does a series of Eira, they also have to be in korban. Ustrei Avodah Kuchavim, again, if they, based on erroneous ruling of Beis Din, they ended up doing something which is considered to be a avodah zara, they have to bring this a korban. So the Gemara says, so we see that there's a, they have to evacuate the space between the ulam and the mizbeah. So the Gemara says, hamam ala yesh bein ha-heital bein ulam l'mizbeah. So the Braisa says, so what stringency is vis-a-vis the heital versus the ulam l'mizbeah? In other words, I see that evacuation takes place between the ulam l'mizbeah and evacuation. Evacuation means nobody else can be there other than the Kohen who's handling matters. So I see that there's an evacuation, sometimes the Heichal, an evacuation between the Ulam and the Zbeah. So what's the stringency of the Heichal over the Ulam and the Zbeah? Now, Tosfos points out, second last Tosfos, Tuva Ika, there's a lot that it's doing. The Zbeah, the Zbach, the Norah, the Shulchan, the Matzah, the Dami, the Heichal, lots of things take place in the Heichal that can't take place outside. We're talking about, in terms of the dinim of evacuation of, you know, of the area, doesn't the Gemara, the Brisa says, so what's more stringent about the Heichal and versus vis-a-vis the Ulam Zbeah? And here's the key line, and this line will undergo several interpretations. Elish, we think the pshat is as follows. Elish beheichal portion, bein b'shat haktara, bein shlo b'shat haktara. We think b'shat haktara is when the Torah is offered. Shlo b'shat haktara, we think, is when blood is applied. So we think the pshat is that from the Heichal, you have to separate whether the Torah is being offered in the Kodesh Kedashim or blood is being applied in the Kodesh Kedashim. We've been an ulam and a mizbeach, but the area between the ulam and the mizbeach ain't portion of the b'shat haktara. You only separate from the b'shat haktara, which we think means offering the Torah in the Kodesh Kedashim, all right? So let's just pause for a second and think about this question, okay? So remember, Reb Lazar explained the Mishnah Masechet Kelim that you only have to separate between the area between we were talking about is between the ulam and the mizbeach, between the ulam, the antechamber, and the mizbeach. So Reb Lazar says you only have to clear out of that area when Torah is being offered on the inner mizbeach. When Torah is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim, you don't have to clear out of that area. That's what Reb Lazar said. That's the way he explained the Mishnah in Masechet Kelim. And the Mishnah wasn't Mukhrat that way, but that's the way Reb Lazar explained the Mishnah. So the Gemara says, but we have this Braisa, and the way we understand the Braisa now, the Braisa is teaching me that in Hachinani, that when the Torah is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim, I do have to clear out in the area between the Ulam and the Zbeach. So that's bad news for Reb Lazar. Everybody good now? Yosef, you're good? All right. Let's all focus. Okay. Now, we had a Mishnah in the Masechet Kelim that we began the section with. And the Mishnah referred to an evacuation to the area between the Ulam and the Zbeah. Reb Lazar says the area between the Ulam and the Zbeah only has to be evacuated when Ketoret is offered on the inner Mizbeah, not when it's offered on the Kodesh Kedashim. We just learned to Braisa, and the way we understand the Braisa is teaching that when the Torah is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim, the area between the Ulam and Zbeach does have to be evacuated. Again, so it says, let me just repeat again. Okay, near the small base in parentheses, I'm going to go over the last few lines again. He says, Hamamala yesh bein heichal bein ulam. What stringency does the Heichal have over the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeah, and the Ulam and Mizbeah, El Sheba Heichal portion, Bein B'Shat HaKtara, Bein Shlo B'Shat HaKtara. In the Heichal, we have to evacuate. Nobody's allowed in the Heichal. We think the Pshat is whether the Torah is being offered in the Kodesh Kedashim or the blood is being applied in the Kodesh Kedashim. He says, Bein Ulam and Mizbeah in portion of B'Shat HaKtara. But the area between the Ulam and Zbeah, we only have to evacuate when the Torah is offered in Kodesh Kodashim, that's what it's saying. So B'shar HaKtorim, but not when the blood is being done. Okay, so then clearly we have a problem for Reb Lazar. So the word says B'shar HaKtorim Yiparshu. So it says that when the Torah is being offered, you do have to separate yourself from the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeah. My love, B'shar HaKtorim, those liable to him. Is it not that the Bryce is referring to when the Torah is offered in the Kodesh Kodashim, and if that's B'shat, then Reb Lazar is in Gahak Tzuret, is the way we'd say. So now the Gemara reinterprets the Braisa. So lo, b'shat ha'tara d'heichal. So the Gemara says no. When it says, again, the Gemara is holding on, b'shat ha'tara means when k'tara is offered, so b'shat ha'tara means when the blood is applied. But when it says b'shat ha'tara, it means whether the k'tara is offered in the heichal or the Kodesh Kedashim, and the blood means in the heichal or the Kodesh Kedashim. So it's lo, b'shat ha'tara d'heichal. So the Braisa, now that we revise our understanding of the Braisa, means like this. The Heichal, you have to evacuate Bein B'Shat HaKtara, Bein Shlo B'Shat HaKtara. In other words, whether any of those avodot are done, whether the blood or the Torah is done in the Kodesh or the Kodesh Kedashim, then you have to evacuate the Heichal. You can't be there in the covered part. Bein Ulam Mizbeach in Porsche B'Shat HaKtara, but the Tzim Ulam Mizbeach can only Porsche B'Shat HaKtara. We will understand it now is it means when the Torah is offered on the Mizbeach HaPnimi or the blood is applied there, then you have to clear up in that space. He says, so the Gemara is lo b'shat ha'tara d'heichal. He hachi ha'mamalo. He says, so if that's the case, so why is that the stringency? In other words, here this again, in the Braisa, we're saying what stringency does the heichal have over the space between the ulam and the mizbeach? Hamamal yesh bein heichal bein ulam mizbeach. The heichal amporish b'shat haktara in bein shlo b'shat haktara. In the ulam and mizbeach, I'm only porish b'shat haktara, only b'shat haktara. So it really means that the chumrah is the chumrah. So it really means the chumrah is that in the heichal, I'm poresh for the blood service. That's what it's really saying. In the heichal, I have to be poresh for the blood when the blood is being offered. That's what it's saying. This is the ihachi hamamala. The two low, are there no other distinctions? Ha'ika hamala. There's another stringency. The ilam mehechal parshi bein b'shat hakar today bein b'shat hakar l'chayv l'chayv. In the heichal, you have to clear out of the heichal whether the Torah is being offered in the Kodesh or the Torah is being offered in the Kodesh Kedashim. But the area between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, Lo Parshi, El B'Shat HaKtar DeHeichal, only when the Torah is offered in the Heichal. So now the Gemara revises the Brais, and sin of the Brais again. He says, HaKetani, El B'Heichal portion, Bein B'Shat HaKtara, Bein Shelo B'Shat HaKtara. So now, the way the Gemara understands the Braisa, our third understanding of the Braisa, it says, when it says Sha'at Haktara and Shlo Sha'at Haktara, so we understood it as one being the Torah and one being the blood, but that's not the Pshat. It means Sha'at Haktara means when the Torah is offered on Mizbeach Hachitza, Mizbeach HaPnimi. Shlo b'shat haktara means that the Torah is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim. Everything, we're only talking about Torah in the Braisa. So he says, so let's look back in the Gemara, three lines to the bottom. Elisha b'heichal portion, bein b'shat haktara, bein shlo b'shat haktara. In the heichal, I have to evacuate the area whether the Torah is offered on the Mizbeach HaPnimi or the Torah is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim. Bein ulam al-Mizbeach in portion, ela b'shat haktara. But in the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, I only have to separate B'Shat HaKtara when the Ketoret is offered on the inner Mizbeach. So the way we understand the Braisa now, so Reb Lazar is in good shape. Again, Reb Lazar said that you only have to evacuate the space between the Ulam and the Mizbeach when the Ketoret is offered on the inner Mizbeach, not when the Ketoret is offered in the Kodesh Kedashim. And in the end, the way we're explaining the Braisa, that's exactly what the Braisa is saying. So the Gemara says, va'ika hamala, but we have another stringency that we don't think was addressed. the ilum hechal parshi ben bekusha day ben kusha l'fnayim. In the hechal, kusha means the matan damim, when the blood is applied. So the blood is applied, remember, from the par and the seir on the inner mizbeach, and the blood is applied sprinkling towards the parochet, and the blood is applied sprinkling towards the aron. So he says that there's another distinction, there's another stringency that the hechal has over the area between the ulam and the mizbeach. The ilum hechal partially ben mekdushin day ben mekdushin b'fly b'fnim. From the hechal has to be evacuated. Whether the blood is being sprinkled b'kdusha d'day, whether the blood is sprinkled in the kodesh, or b'kdusha l'tzai l'fim, where the blood is being sprinkled in the kodesh kadashim. Be'ilum ben ulam l'mizbeach lo parshi ala b'kdusha d'heichal. But the area between the ulam and the mizbeach, they only separate themselves out from the blood that's being sprinkled in the kodesh. Again, it's coming out. The area between the ulam and the mizbeach is the outside area, the open area. It's coming out, that area has to be evacuated when ketoret is offered on the mizbeach hapanimi, or blood is being applied to the mizbeach hapanimi, or blood is being applied, sprinkled towards the parochet. Meaning, it's going to come out of harchaka d'rabbanan, we're afraid people are going to walk into the kodesh, and therefore we don't do it. But what the Bryce doesn't mention that. That's also a stringency or a different halacha that the Heichal has. So Amarava came Prisha Akati. Rabbi says, look, once you tell me the one din by Ketoret, I know the same din will apply to Matan Dami. That's the idea. So okay, let's just summarize a little bit, and then we'll take some questions, and then we will go on. Okay. So we started off with this Mishnah in Masechet Kelim. Mishnah Masechet Kelim taught us, we learned from the Pasuk in Chumash that the Kohen, nobody can be with the Kohen when he does his avoda inside the Heichal. That's the first Yisod. Nobody can be there when he does the avoda inside the Heichal. And it's going to come out, we'll see in the Gemara, the Gemara learns that same thing is true by the Chataot Pnimiot. When he's doing the avoda with the Chataot Pnimiot, those Chataot, that the blood is applied to the inner Mizbeach, nobody can be in the Heichal when he's doing that. It's not necessarily there, the Kohen Gadol, but nobody could be there when he does that. Then the Mishnah Masechet Kelim introduced us to the idea that sometimes we evacuate not just the Heichal, but we evacuate the area in front of the Heichal. We evacuate the 22 Amma strip that's between the Heichal and the Mizbeach. And that's going to be a Din D'Rabbanan. So Rav Lazar explained that evacuation only takes place when you have a voda in the Kodesh, not a voda in the Kodesh Kadashim. And the idea is, I'm concerned that people are just going to walk in. When it's already in the Kodesh Kadash, I'm not so concerned people are going to walk in there. When it's close by, I'm afraid people are going to walk in on it. So, and to walk in is violating the Torah. It says, "Pul adam lo yabi olam away." Nobody could be there. So we had this Braisa, and at first the Braisa was unclear, but at the end of the day, the Braisa was saying that in the Heichal, nobody could be in the Heichal when the Avodah is being done in the Kodesh or the Avodah is being done in the Kodesh Kadashim. In the area between the Ulam and the Zbeach, if Ketoret is being done on the inner Mizbeach, then you have to clear away from the 22 Amma area in front of the Ulam. And then the Gemara says, is that the only thing the Heichal has? So the Heichal is more Chamor, because the Heichal I have to clear out even when the Avodah is being done in the Kodesh Kadashim. And between the Ulam and the Zbeach, it's only when the Avodah is being done in the Kodesh. So the Gemara says, but what about Matan Damim? There's also when the blood service is being done in the Kodesh Kadashim, you have to clear out of the Heichal, but you only clear out in the area in the Zbeach when the blood service is being done in the Kodesh. So the Gemara says, yeah, that's understood. One Prisha, it's we understand, but the Prisha, so we're like the evacuation of the area, we understand the same dinam applies, and Mela, that's the way that goes. Okay, let me just one thing, let me just see where I'm holding with this Gemara. One second. All right, who's got questions, comments, or thoughts on anything I did so far? What's up, Vern? What's up?
When you say clear it out,
yeah.
Are there, you mean from helpers?
Nobody can be there. Everybody has to clear out of the area. Clear away the area.
Understood. But the Kodesh Kadashim, the only time he's in there is Yom Kippur, right?
Right. But so it's saying that when the Kohen Gadol is doing the Avoda in the Kodesh Kadashim, nobody can be in the Kodesh Kadashim. Nobody can be in the Kodesh. Nobody can be in the entire covered structure of the Beis HaMikdash.
Right. And he goes in with the chain on his leg in case he dies, you can pull him out. Is that true?
Well, I think the Gemara said that during the Bayit Sheni, they were concerned about that. But what's the next thing?
No. So then there would have to be another person there when he's in the Kodesh Kodesh.
So I don't know. In other words, it's only when he's doing the avoda. Maybe when they figured like enough time passed, and I don't know where Yom Kippur is over or whatever. I don't know. But nobody could be there when he's doing avoda. All right, all right.
Okay. Where are the people on Yom Kippur? I've been asking this
people are standing in the Azara, but
the Ezra Hanashim.
No, the women are in the Ezra's Nashim, but the men would be in the Ezra's Yisrael or in the Azara, the Azara, the base of Mikdash. They're standing in the Azara.
They are. Right. But they're not davening because there was no davening.
We're saying, all right, one second. Okay. Okay. If you look, you see the floor plan? You see the floor plan from the art
screen? Yeah, okay. I got it.
Okay. So the main action, there's a lot of actions taking place in the brown. Now, in area 6 is the Ezra's Nashim, so women presumably would be there. Sometimes they would build a balcony for the women, but I don't know if on Yom Kippur they did that. They could be in 6. Then you have the brown area. So in the beginning of the brown area, people could certainly be there, okay? Okay. Now, all right. Now, let's all right, let's go further. All right, now... Okay, we're up to line 5 on Memdalat Amud Beis. Okay, everybody with me? 44b, line 5. Amar Mar. Now the Gemara is quoting from the statement we had before. Kach portion b'shat matan par koy Mashiach. This is from the Braisa, that we evacuate when the blood is being applied from the Kohen Gadol. Nothing to do with Yom Kippur. When he's his special korban, and he's chayav because he didn't aveira, it's like a type of korban chatat. He that's a chatat pnimiot. He says uparlim davar sidur when the sidur erroneously followed they followed the Sanhedrin. Sanhedrin made an erroneous ruling. With three of protocol kavim again, if the bezdin erroneously instructed them to do something that constitutes a bodazara. So manalam. So where do we know that there has to be an evacuation from the Heichal when these things take place? So Amara Padad Aki Kapara Kapara Miyom Kippurim. So Padad says is Xer Shaba Kapara Kapara Miyom Kippurim. So it says by Yom Kippur, mentions Kapara, and it mentions we mentioned three different korbanot, right? We had the par of the Kohen Mashiach, par of the Davashal Sibur, and the three of Kohen. So by two out of three, it also mentions Kapara, and the RSV, I think, quotes the Psukim. One second. So the Psukim are, it says by Yom Kippur, it says, by Yom Kippur. By the Parim Davar Shal Tzibur, it says, and by the Sirei Vodah Kochavim, it says, now it doesn't mention Kapara by the Korban of the Kohen Mashiach, but the article says, the way the Rambam brings down as well, it's a binyanav. In other words, we're going to extrapolate out from Yom Kippur. In other words, we're going to say, but Yom Kippur teaches me a klal that when I have like the blood avoda in the Kodesh, so I have to clear out of the place, so too here as well. Okay, so back in the Gemara, Amar of Ada, where some learn Amar of Ada. Amar of Ach or Amar of Ada Baraba, Shmamina Ma'alot Doraita, Bahi Gemir Lahu. So Ada Baraba says, from this whole sugya, we can extrapolate that the different areas in the Beis HaMikdash, like we have an Ezra's Yisrael, an Ezra's Kohanim, different areas where people can go. So that those dinim are Doraisa, and Salach Moshe Mesinai. Why? These Talkadais of the Rabbanan, if we assume that those distinction between those areas are all the Rabbanan, Maishna Beina Ulam Alam Mizbeach, Hilma Mikru Ba'ili. So why is it that there's a special chumra? In other words, when we see the area between the Ulam and the Zbeach has special dinim. That's special kedusha. And normally only Kohanim are allowed to usually go in that area. So that's a special din. So that must be, we think, there must be like a din d'oraisa that had, that zone has special dinim. Because if it's din d'rabanan, so why is it that there's a halacha that everybody has to clear out from that area because we're afraid people will walk into the heichal and that will violate din Torah? So why don't we have the gzera from the whole area? So we think the fact that, in other words, we think that, in other words, the chamer are adding on to a din Torah. So din Torah, this zone is different than this zone. So since on a din Torah, this zone is different than this zone, so now I'm adding on a din Rabbanan between the Ulam and the Mizbeach. But if on a din Torah, it's all the Zalbazak, the same thing, so when I make the gzera, I should say the whole Azara should be cleared out. So the Gemara says, no, you don't necessarily have a proof from there. In other words, it could be in Achinami, it's all in Drabana. Everything, all the zones outside are Drabana. He says, but there's nothing interrupting between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, so like a person could forget himself and just like walk in. He says, Azara came into Ikam Mizbeach Achitzon. When you're in the Azara, you have this big Mizbeach. So if you don't realize you've got the big Mizbeach here, that'll serve as a reminder. The Mafsik, Min Karamilta. So it could be in Achinami, these could be Dinam Durabanan, but nevertheless, notwithstanding that they're all Dinam Durabanan, it makes sense that they would have only made a Gzeira between the Ulam and the Mizbeach, because that's where it's most likely people would walk in, outside, not so likely to walk in. All right. I'm a Rabba. Rabba says, Shmamina. So from this, I can extrapolate. That the kedusha of the ulam and the heichal, the ulam is the antechamber, and the heichal, that's one on a derice level, that's one kedusha. We think that the ulam has the same dinim as the heichal on a Torah level. We think. He says, the isal kedaitach shtei kedushot ninu, if you would assume that there are two kedushot, meaning that the heichal has a din deraisa, the ulam is din derabanan, if I would assume like that, so ulam gufa gzera, b'nekom b'nigzer gzera l'gzera, then walking into the ulam would only be prohibited on a drabanan level. And now you're going to see between the ulam and another drabanan. So how can you make a gzera l'gzera? So it must be, we think, that the ulam and the heichal have the same level of kedusha. So the Gemara says, not necessarily true. Lo, ulam ubein ulam mizbeach chad kedusha. It could be the ulam has the same status as the space between the ulam and the mizbeach. But heichal ulam shtei kedusha. And the heichal ulam have two kedusha. So it means that it's one area, the ulam and the space between the mizbeach and the ulam, and that's the chamim made gzera. That's all part of the gzera. In other words, the gzera is don't go into the ulam, don't go into the space between the heichal and the mizbeach, between the ulam and the mizbeach, and the heichal could be on a higher level than the ulam. All right, that was the hardest part. Tell me about it. Okay, all right. Now we'll do the next piece of Gemara, and this I think will be a little easier. All right, now, we said every day the Kohen, now it's not necessarily the Kohen Gadol every day, it's the Kohen who's handling the Ketoret, he would like have a silver shovel to dig into the coals, and then he would take from the silver shovel and pour it into the gold shovel, remember? So he says, but on Yom Kippur, he just has a gold shovel. So, b'chol yom yachotev shal kesef b'chulei mai taima. Why does he have silver and gold? So a Torah chasa amonon shal Yisrael. The Torah is concerned about Jewish money, and Rashi points out, he says, and if you look at the Rashi, it's below where we are, chasa amonon ba'ananami chasinan, so we're also concerned about the money, v'chatiyat b'chal shochekat l'klima chasarto, that sticking in the coals like destroys the keli, it rubs away and gets destroyed. So we'll say, you know, so normally we say, you know, don't worry about it. We won't do gold. We'll do silver. Silver, we assume, is less expensive than gold. It's the gold, right? Okay, now the next line. Today, on Yom Kippur, he has one shovel. He sticks the gold shovel in, and he walks into the Kodesh Kedashim with it. My time, Mishum Chulsha the Kohen Gadol. So we say it's like he's exhausted, he's tired, you know, the fast, everything else. And Rashi brings down Shtorkularot Nikliotli. It's like too tedious for him to pour from one coal, from one kli to another kli. You want to keep it light and simple for the Kohen Gadol. What's again? Yeah, so in other words, I assume that the gold is the nicer keli, so we want to have that nicer keli, I assume. Okay. All right, now, b'chol yom shel arbat kama mechuli. Now, we said every day, according to the Tanna Kama, the first shovel would hold four kav, and he'd pour it into the coals into a shovel with three kav. So one kav, it's like musical chairs. One kav doesn't make it into the new shovel. So Tana nitpazrulo kav gechalim mechav ben la'ama. So a Tana taught in a braisa that a kav of coals would spread all over the place, and he would be swept into the ama. Is this irrigation channel that goes to the base of Mikdash? But the thing is, they wanted the coals to be heaped up on the keli, so this way it's heaped up on the keli. Tani chara kav. In one braisa, I learned that a kav of coals got, you know, didn't make it into the second shovel. But tani ida kabayim. And there were different braisa. The two kav of coals didn't make it into the second one. Vishleimahak tani kav rabbanan. So the one that says kav, that could be the chachamim in our Mishnah. The Mishnah said you start off with a keli with four kav. You go to a keli with three kav. You have one kav left over. But the opinion that says that there was two kav left over doesn't seem to be like the Chachamim, because Chachamim in the Mishnah hold one kav is left over, and it doesn't seem to be Rabbi Yossi. Remember, Rabbi Yossi, we learned, he says the first one had a sa'a, which was six kav, the second one had three kav, so he had three kav left over. So that doesn't seem to be the one. It's not one kav, it's not three kav, it's two kav. So he says, "Mani lo rabbanim lo Rabbi Yossi." Amar Rav Chista, Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan brokehi. So Rav Chista says we have a third Tana. That's Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan brokehi. That's what's like. Tani we learned Brisa. Rabbi Shmuel ben Osher, Rabbi Yochanan brokehi. There, b'shal kabayim hayamachnis. He says that the keli that the Kohen would use to bring in normally for the Torah would hold two kav. So in other words, I start off with silver and go to gold. The silver holds four kav. And the gold holds two kav, according to this opinion. So four kav and two kav, I have two kav left over. Okay, so that we got. That's the third opinion. Yeah. Now, Rabashi says it could be that statement that there was two kav left over does indeed go like the Tana Rav Yossi in our Mishnah. Now, remember, in our Mishnah, Rav Yossi said that the first shovel held a sa'a, which normally holds six kav, and then the next shovel held three kav, so there's three kav left over. That means every day he would use a shovel that would hold a sa'a, but from the midbar. Remember, the shiurim changed over time. So a sa'a from the midbar is equal to five kav that we use now. So it's really five and three. So it means, so the Samid Barit holds five kav Yerusham Yod. And so it's so in effect, it's five and three, and there's a few left over. Everybody good? Any questions? Okay, I'm going to move on. So every day the shovel was very heavy. Today on Yom Kippur was very light. And it doesn't mean that his sense of heaviness and light has changed. He says, Tana Tona Braisa, B'chol Yom, I talk galda ava, that every day, like the thickness of the walls of the shovel was very thick. So Rashi says in the first where we went lying downstairs, gilda ava, dofna ava, lachakakak beta. It was the thickness of the walls of the shovel. It doesn't look quite like our shovel. It has like the shovel has like some like walls around the shovel area that was very thick. So it was very heavy. Vayom rach. Rach usually means soft, but here Rashi says rach is dak, thin. So it was a thinner shovel that he used today. So this sounds like the Braisa, but we learned something similar. Does it mean the Mishnah here? 1 minute. It wasn't the Mishnah, you're right. Let me just make sure. You're right. It seems like back in the Mishnah. Every day it was a short-handled shovel. Today was a very long-handled shovel. My Tama, why was a long-handled shovel on Yom Kippur? So that like he can stick the arm of the shovel underneath his arm and like get more support for it and like easier to carry it that way. Tana taught a braisa, that every day didn't have a niashtik. Niashtik is means like a ring or a bell at the end of it. Let's see Rashi. Niashtik, second by line Rashi, tabad rosha to mikpashkesh, which we call mishamanish makalo. It jingles, like it's a ring that jingles of the shovel, right? Point to Ben Askan had this ring that would jingle. So, because it says, so it's normally by the Me'il, but it's saying that it, like you hear him when he enters the Kodesh. He said that every day that the gold that was used for the shovel was Yarok, and this is what Ferenad asked me the other day, but it means like a yellow gold. He says, and today it was red. So the Gemara says, Amr Chista Shavaz Zahavim Hain. The Chista says there are seven grades of gold. Zahav, you have Zahav is grade one. Zahav Tov, grade two. Zahav Ophir. The Gemara will explain each one. Zahav Mufaz, Zahav Shachot, Zahav Sagur, Zahav Parvayim. So now the Gemara explains each type of Zahav, gold. Zahav was Zahav Tov. If he was Zahav Aretz, I think it's a he, Tov. He says, you have regular gold, and then you have Zahav Tov, like, I don't know, like a grade A gold. He says, the gold of that land was Tov. So the Gemara takes it, it's like Zahav Tov. That's what the Gemara takes it. One second, let me just make sure. When Zahav, where does he have it here? It's Zahav, yeah, Hahi Tov, right. It's Hahi. Hahi Tov. Zahav Ophir, the Atin Ophir. Then you have Zahav that comes from Ophir. Zahav Mufaz, Shadome Lepaz. It's similar to Paz. Rashi says it glows like a pearl. Shadome Lepaz. So the Gemara takes it that Paz here is a pearl. Usually they say Paz is like fine gold. I guess it could be the same thing. You know, like in right. So in Baruch Shamar, there are 87 letters which are equal to Paz, which means fine gold. And I think the Magen Avraham says that when you say Baruch Shamar, you shouldn't say Befi Amo, you should say Befe Amo. Yeah,
but right. The art scroll changed it.
Yeah, well, they aren't the ones who came up with the idea, but Befe Amo is Begematria is Paz. They pay hey is Paz. Anyway, let's see back in the Gemara. They say, don't want the Paz. Zahav Shechut, he says, Shenifek Shechut, that could be spun like thread. Zahav Sagur, B'sha'a Shniftach Kol HaChaniot Nisgarot. When a store opens up with this gold, all the other stores have to close down because there's going to be a run on that store that has fine quality of gold. Zahav Parvayim, Shedom L'dam HaParim. Zahav Parvayim is gold and similar in color to the blood of the parim, of the bulls. Now let's see back in the Gemara. Ravashi Amar Chamishahein. Ravashi says, no, there's really only five types of gold. So we had seven. The first two, according to Ravashi, are not separate types of gold. He says, in other words, you have five different types of gold. In other words, the first two were Zahav and Zahav Tov. Take those off the list. You have the five types of gold. Then each one of the types of gold could either be garden variety Zahav or Zahav Tov, grade A. Tani Nami Hachi, we learned a brisa that supports what we just said. Every day the gold was yellow, I would say. Yom Adom. Today on Yom Kippur, it was like a reddish gold. I haven't seen that before. Behind Zahav Parvayim, Shadom L'dam HaParim. They would use Zahav Parvayim that looks like the blood of the bulls. So, all right, now let me just do a little piece from my Aladah, and then we'll see what's doing. Okay, any questions what we did? All right, now. What? I don't know how much it weighed. They had a conversion figure for it. Let me just take a look. Okay, Sally asked me how much a cob weighed. Now, again, he's taking a cob of coals. Let me see what he has for cob. One second. Yeah. A kav is volume of 24 eggs. So he says a kav is a volume of 24 eggs. So imagine a volume of 24 eggs. Like think, like you go to the store, you get a dozen eggs. So think of those two of those bundles, but filled with coals. So instead of like the container containing eggs, think of coals, the size of eggs, and then 2 dozen eggs that way. That would be the weight. Okay? All right. Now, even that, or I think coals, different coals could be different weight, but it's the coal from the wood. Okay, now, all right. Now, we spoke about evacuating the area when the ketoret is offered and when the blood is sprinkled around. Now, Rabbi Yerucham Pishul Perla questions why the Rambam in his Sefer Mitzvot, as well as others who enumerate the Tariq Mitzvot, omit this mitzvah to vacate the Heifal Dunyam Chraboda from the list of Tariq Mitzvot. So he said in the Torah, it says, it's the trickiest thing when you try to calculate what is the Tariq Mitzvot. It's like you don't know, you have this verb, that verb, the other thing. So the point is, though, the Rambam does not list this as a separate mitzvah, not to be in the Heichal when the avoda is going on. So Rabbi Yerucham Pishul Perlo, who has a perish on the Rambam, yes, why not? So he says, in answer, he cites the Yerushalmi, which deduces from the Pasuk, that during the Kohen Gadol's avoda, the Heichal must be completely vacant, not only of human beings, but even of malachim. Even the angels are not allowed to be in the Heichal. Now this requires an explanation, because the angels are not subject to the laws of the Torah, so how could the Torah be addressing the angels, right? So he says, Rabbi Yerucham Pishul Perlo explains that evidently the pasuk is not addressing those who enter the heichal, but rather the Kohen Gadol who performs the avoda. It's like this is like getting to yeshivas type of chakira. How do we understand this halakha? Pasuk teaches that a condition of Yom Kippur avoda is that it be performed when the heichal is vacant. In other words, the Torah's teaching means that one of the tanaim in the avoda of Yom Kippur is nobody could be in the heichal. If anyone is present in the heichal, come to the avoda. The person or an angel is a detriment to the avoda. Since vacating the heichal is an Easter directed those wishing to enter, since vacating is an Easter, it's not an Easter directed those wishing to enter, rather, as an aspect of the avoda, it is not listed as a separate mitzvah. You know, Rav Simon, he has a piece in his Imre Baruch, and the way I recall, he says that you can't have anybody there because everybody's like tshuva is different than everybody else's. So when the Kohen Gadol is bringing kapara for everybody, he has his own approach to tshuva. He can't have anybody else there. That's why I remember it's being okay. The Meiri questions the necessity of this pasuk prohibiting people to tarry in the heichal during the Kohen Gadol's avoda on Yom Kippur. He notes that there's an isur for Kohenim to enter the heichal all year round, unless they are needed there for purposes of avoda, be a rekanit. In other words, nobody can walk in the heichal, just stomach, like walking in the heichal. Even a kohen, I just want to see what the menorah looks like. I can't go in there. Let's be a rekanit. Since all the Yom Kippur avoda must be performed only by the Kohen Gadol, we forbidden in any case for anyone to enter the heichal since they are not needed there for the avoda. So even without this isur, I know nobody, a non-kohen can't enter there ever. And even kohenim, only on a need-to basis. So if that's the case, why do I need a special indication in the Torah? So according to the Yerushalmi, the Meir's question is not difficult. But the Pasuk teaches that the Yom Kippur Avoda may not be performed even when angels are present in the Heichal, even though angels are not subject to the Yisur being a Reikonit. He says, moreover, the Pasuk teaches that if someone enters the Heichal Yom Kippur, besides violating the Yisur being a Reikonit, it mars the Yom Kippur Avoda, something we would not know without the Pasuk Avoda may have gone. So he's saying like this, that even though I know nobody can go into the Heichal, but it's teaching me that if somebody enters the Heichal, he's messing up the Yom Kippur Avoda. And also, the second Yisur is also the Malachim can't be there as well. Okay, that's it. Any questions? I think that's it.
The angels have no free will. How can they do something like that?
What,
the angels have to, they don't have
no, free will. No. But what, Malachim, they don't have a Gates of Hara.
And they have no free will. And they can't just do anything. They have a Tafkin. They do only what they're supposed to do, no?
Well, I don't know what to say. Like Malachim around all the time. I don't know what to. I don't know.
But they can't just do random stuff, don't they?
I don't know the answer to this question. This question I can't answer. Okay, all right. Let me see. Let me end the recording.